Hello, everyone. I have the queen of the nervous system here, Irene Lyon.
Hey.
Don't know. You're, in my opinion, you're the queen of the nervous
Thank
system.
you. Not everyone thinks
Oh, well,
that.
you know, there are
All good.
pioneers and then there are pioneers of pioneers, right? So just
Exactly.
continue the work.
Totally.
I'm really excited to have you here. It's SBSM time, and so I
Yes.
love talking about SBSM. I love
Yes.
promoting SBSM, and
Thank you.
we're just wanting to get this work out and fill everybody in on how deep it
Yep.
goes,
Yep.
how important it is,
Yep.
and what they can get out of SBSM and what it's all about. So to start, why don't you give me a brief background on
Okay.
you, how you got into this work, what inspires you, what inspired you at the time, any symptoms, things you had to overcome, and then maybe even what inspires you now to like keep it moving.
So, I'll do the short version. There are long versions in other
You can, we could
areas.
talk 2 hours on that question.
Well, I have been working with people for a long time. I was always in the health world, through fitness and nutrition, and then Feldenkrais I got into due to some injuries. So I went into that from my own body's needs. And then I was in private practice with Feldenkrais, and there were all these, not all, but a lot. I would say, if I'm being fair, 50%, if I really look at it now, of my clients, just they weren't getting better with purely Feldenkrais, which is wonderful as a modality, as you know. It helps me a ton. And I'm like, what's going on? What am I missing? And then that led me to Peter Levine's work. This would have been in 08, 2000, oh, 2008, I think that's how we say it. And it just opened up my eyes to, oh, this is so important. Humans don't typically release trauma naturally because of our brain, our higher brain. We aren't like animals in the wild. Obviously, look at us. We're sitting in these boxes on these things. And it's not natural, even though this is our world, and that's fine. I like living in a home with heat and running water, and I think you do too.
For the most part.
So I went down that path deep in 08, then studied somatic experiencing, got deep into Peter's master classes. I was so fortunate at the time, he was teaching all of them. And then
Amazing.
I started assisting at the master classes. I started assisting the SE trainings and started working with Kathy Kane, Steve Terrell, who are also SE practitioners. Kathy was a trainer for a while, working with early trauma. I mean, I just went full steam, like just got into it. And I was in private practice. My system went through some crazy times in 2010. Had no clue, as you know, Selden, that I had trauma stored. I had no clue what was sitting in my system. I had no clue what shock trauma is in my system. And I had something pretty unique called chemical trauma, fluid trauma, as a result of, we think, and my teachers agree, exposure to a lot of chemicals in utero as a child, as a really an infant, a teenager, working and being in my parents' veterinary practice. So that story is on my site. If people want to see the pictures of what my skin looked like, it was horrific. It was terrible. Took me a long time to work through that. And I'm still, I'll be honest, I mean, my immune system was not built well in utero.
Interesting.
So there is this preponderance in my system to be very inflammatory. And I would say that if I had not gotten into this work as I did and started working on my own stuff in 08, I would probably be diagnosed with a few autoimmune conditions, definitely fibromyalgia, definitely lupus, definitely chronic pain, definitely rheumatoid arthritis. I just know that because my system will have what I call, I don't love the term flares, but where my joints are just so sore and there's no reason. And it's something is moving through, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's my personal thing. But then I was in private practice working with people weekly full time in Vancouver, actually. This would have been maybe 2012-ish. And I just was like, this is not enough to see someone once a week. Like big traumas, big accidents, early and developmental trauma, no connection to the body, no understanding of all the things that I had just learned in my training. So I started to create resources and I started to create audio lessons on CDs. Seth would burn the audio onto a CD and I would give it to my clients and they would do the exercises. That was their homework. And some of these
Awesome.
lessons to this day still exist on Smart Body, Smart Minds
Right.
site,
Yeah,
right?
because they don't change. Those basics don't change.
And, you know, I've thought about, you know, do I need to change any of this? And no, you know,
Yeah.
It works. We know it works. And so there's no point in changing the structure, at least, of the lessons. So I created resources, and then the online learning world just started to kind of explode, really. And I learned how to put things onto a site. I learned, oh, you can do this thing and blah, 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 blah. And
created Baby
webinars and
Live. Remember
Baby
Baby
Live. Well,
Live?
Baby Live happened way
Baby
before.
Live went viral. Oh, she it did?
Yeah.
Oh.
That was in 2005.
Oh, because that was that before Essie? Wow.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I was living in Whistler, working still in athletics with athletes, still in engaged with a lot of ski racing stuff. And Baby Liv was actually the baby. She's not a baby anymore.
I was gonna say she's 20 now, but
She's
the
a full-on
quality,
teenager.
right? But
She,
the
yeah, she.
quality of that, the quality of that video is so good.
Oh, we did it professionally. So
Okay, you
she
can
was the
tell.
daughter of one of my, actually my boss at the time. And I said, hey, Marianne, can we follow your baby every month until she walks? And we didn't get quite to the walking. We got to the crawling and crouching because there's two videos. And every month we went to a local yoga studio in Whistler, BC. Shout out to, at that time it was Neo Alpine Yoga. Kristen owned the
Oh,
place.
that's awesome.
And she let us in when there was a break in yoga classes. And we set up the camera and we filmed. And then my editor, Jen Strom, she put it together, and it's, you know, she's a world-class editor. She's won awards for
Yeah,
documentary
she did a
film.
really good job. They
Yeah.
show that in my, they show that in my SE training. My teacher showed that in beginning. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is my mentor, Irene
Yeah.
Lyon.
Yeah.
Yeah,
No, that
that's
was
cool.
before I was Lyon. That was, I
It's a
was
really
still,
good, oh,
I was,
right.
oh yeah, I was still married to another person. And there's actually, I mean, in addition to that, there's beautiful clips of athletes talking about the method. So no, Baby Live was like me trying to really help the world understand Feldenkrais. Now, what
Yeah.
I then realized is, wow, most people aren't ready for Feldenkrais's work.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it is very cognitive. It's very delicate in the body, the awareness. And Feldenkrais is a big part of SPSM, a huge part. It's actually in all the lessons and how I teach, how I guide, how I have people pay attention. Orienting was something that I learned through Feldenkrais way before the SE world, really, in terms of how the head moves and the eyes move. So I'll go back.
I
Yeah.
almost think, just to interject real quick, because I have a comment really.
Yeah.
I almost think that you need a level of embodiment. The way that we're dysregulated now is
Yeah.
so, I think, more extreme than it
Yeah.
was in the 70s. So now it's like you almost have to have done some work to be able to do a Feldenkrais or to even be able to understand it. There has to be some amount of embodiment already in place.
That's a great hypothesis.
Yeah, because it's hot. It's too hard for a very dysregulated system like somebody with CPTSD. They wouldn't be able to sit through that.
No, and if I
Hard
think
for me.
about No, I agree. And I think this is one reason why that methodology has struggled to really launch into the world. I think it could and should, but it needs something before. Just like we know meditation in its classic sense is a very sophisticated practice. And Feldenkrais is the same way. But if I think about my mentors who studied with Moshe in the 70s and 80s, some are still alive. Yeah, the visuals are different. Like the old footage is different. People were different. The stresses were different. And yet, I also sometimes wonder, they still had a lot of stored stuff too. There was a lot of functional freeze going on, but the world just was a little less engaged. You know, it was different.
Well, they didn't have the societal stimulation that we get constantly, the
No.
phones, the this, the that, just the busyness.
No.
And so their baseline, dare I call it baseline, like seemed to be a little more stable because they
Yeah.
have that added stimulation that we have now.
There wasn't this
The
thing right there,
phone. Oh
right?
my God,
That.
the phone is, oh
You
God.
know, this is a total, this is like off topic, but
Yeah,
I was
that's
watching an
okay.
old, I was watching an old documentary last weekend. It was a Depeche Mode documentary.
Oh, I love Depeche Mode. Oh my God.
And that's my Jen, and they did tour in 80, I don't know, 9, I think, or 9. Yeah, I think it was 89. And it was called Depeche Mode 101 is a documentary, and it is so worth watching
Oh, I can't wait to watch it. I'll watch it
to
tonight.
see. I don't want to give it away, but like there are things happening in that documentary that would never happen now because there were no mobile phones, no maps, you know. Basically, some say it was the first reality show ever created was that documentary, because they took, I think it was 15 fans. They did a contest in LA and they found 15 fans to get in a bus, a tour bus, not with the band, but their own bus. And they traveled through Route 66 in the South and
Whoa.
then ended in Pasadena, California for their final concert. And it's just so cool because they're just being humans with each other and
Right.
dancing, and there's a little drama, but it's not staged or
Right.
scripted. And it was just so refreshing. So you're right. You know,
Yeah.
things were different. But here we are, right?
Yeah.
So.
So I interrupted you though. Do you remember what your train of thought was before we went on to the Moshe stuff? You were talking about Feldenkrais, its development. We weren't ready for it.
So I put what is now smart body, smart mind into its first forms as first, I think it was a 5-week course, and then it was an 8-week course, and then I landed on 12 because 8 and 5 just wasn't enough. And I kept learning more. I kept learning the work of Kathy Kane and Steve Terrell, more in-depth work with the diaphragms, the heart, the mediastinum, the layers, the fascia, the skin, all the things that you know well through SBSM. And so it just kind of grew. And then it got to a point where I'm like, okay, that's enough. And it is a lot,
Well, it's really
right?
good for practitioners, really good for practitioners, because like when I have clients now that come to me that have the program and I'm like, oh, thank God. Okay, here's your homework. Go back and do adrenal kidneys. Go back and do the this. Go to, you know what I mean? So for us, it's, I said it. For us, it's a really good resource, you know, for our clients.
I have a lot of colleagues whom some are on my team, some are not. I know a lot of your peers who are coaches, and the people that have clients that go through Smart Body, Smart Mind will say working with them, I don't want to say it's easier, but it's more effortless because you don't have to spend time educating them about this thing and that thing. And we need to understand the theory. I can't
And
say
I
it
don't want to
better.
spend a coaching session saying all that.
No, and that's what I was doing. You
Doing
know,
exactly.
I
That's,
was spending, you know, out of an hour session, maybe 30 minutes, paper to pen, describing to people, this is what's happening. And I mean, I was having to charge top dollar for my sessions because I was living and working in Vancouver. It's not cheap to have rent and run a business there. And so to have a person have to spend $200 a week.
Yeah.
It just, and so there's sometimes critique that the course SBSM is too expensive, and that's fine. You know, that's, I agree. If you have no money for food and you can pay rent, that is a lot of money. But for those that are spending money on therapy, spending money on supplements, you have to here pay out of pocket to see any healthcare provider that's good. People, you know, so, you
Yeah,
know,
exactly. Yeah.
it's very important to
Here
put
too.
this into perspective, and how much will you spend in the future on other things when your nervous system is dysregulated? So
Exactly.
it all
That's
comes down
right.
to that long-term way of looking at it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. So we touched a little bit on autoimmune. Let's talk about that a little more.
Yeah.
A lot of
Yeah.
people may know my story, but some people might not. I think I'm a bigger maybe story of transformation from your or one of the ones you refer to a lot, right? Because
Yep.
mine was so big
Yes.
and transformational and fast that happened for me. If you don't know, I have lupus, or I had lupus. I was diagnosed when I was 40. I'm 48 now. And when I took Smart Body, Smart Mind, within the first few months, I
Yeah.
noticed a huge shift in my flares. Never had weeks-long flares again.
Yeah.
And my whole body started to change. Now,
Yeah.
obviously, as you know, when we heal trauma, there was ups and downs. There was
Oh,
the,
yeah.
processing big stuff, and
Yeah.
it's never like roses, that
No.
whole thing.
No.
But one of my biggest symptoms was chronic fatigue, that shutdown. I
Yes.
was like, I have a
Yes.
ton of collapse. But I think it's
Yes.
interesting, and we're gonna like weave two topics in, because it struck me when you were talking about your story. You said you would have been diagnosed with some of these chronic illnesses. However, you didn't really have the collapse and shutdown so much. Yours was more functional. You see where I'm going with this? So yeah, so talk about that a little bit. And also, I do want to touch on like coming out of this stuff, especially something like functional freeze, why it's so important to have the education. Because a person in functional freeze doesn't know that anything is wrong, or
No,
they don't understand the
no.
extent of the dysregulation that's happening internally. And
Yeah.
this is really where people blow themselves out a lot. So, yeah, let's touch on that, wherever you want to put it.
I mean, I'll just start by saying it is so hard
Yeah.
to convey functional freeze to someone who's in it.
I know. It really
And I mean, this is something that I'm
Yes.
always trying to figure out, because when I was in it, it took me saying to one of my favorite assistants in my SE training, this would have been in 09, I was getting all these weird sensations down my legs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is this? Like, I was concerned. I'm like, am I
Sure.
having a stroke? Like, what is this?
Yeah.
And I went and I saw her, and I'll never forget, Selden. I was sitting in her office and she looked at me and I told her, I'm like, this is so strange. She goes, Irene, or no, she, honey, that's how she talks. Honey, you've been in functional freeze your entire life.
Wow. That
And I
hit.
was, that hit me. And it wasn't like emotional, but it literally was like, you're right. You are so freaking right. And
Yeah.
the reason that was starting to uncover was because that, I think, was one of the times where I opened up a pretty big old trauma in my system at the training. Unfortunately, I did too much after that, because my tendency in my 20s, my teenage hood years, was to push, to go. I was an adrenaline athlete. I skated, I ice skated, I skied, I was so competent. I had no fear of heights, no fear of driving fast. I had tons of friends. I was, you know, the life of the party. Like, I was shitty at school, but that's another thing. But I was driven. You know,
That's interesting. Yeah.
I never skipped class, and none of those things. And so, I knew how to push. And so, what happened though is, my system opened up, and then it opened up too much. So in retrospect, if I look back, I could say, what would have happened if I had had what is SBSM now before my SE training? The problem is, I wouldn't have thought that I would have needed it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the
Because
thing.
I had had no symptoms of what you might consider autoimmune, no neuropathies. I mean, yeah, I had some skin stuff and eczema, but it was never so extreme that I had anything that tipped me off that there's something really wrong. So this is what's difficult is I have found that people often have to hit rock bottom before they start to look at what they have to change. And I wish there was another way, but
I know.
I will say this, if someone here is listening to this, and maybe someone is like in that chronic fatigue flare autoimmune, and then I say, I mean, not to be direct, you got to do this because it's not going to get better with time.
I
Yeah.
almost am happy that I had, I mean, I would say happy. It's just, I'm glad that my, our lives lay out the way that they unfold
Yes.
exactly how they're supposed to, right? And for me, I look back and I think, because I struggled for so long, there was no question. There was no
You
question.
knew.
There was something going on. I've been
Yeah.
very, very young.
Yeah.
But I did have multiple rock bottoms even still, and unfortunately, that is, I agree with you, that is where most people have to get before they start
Yeah.
to really wake up. I do think it might be changing a little bit now because it feels like,
I
yeah,
hope
there's like
so.
more of an awakening around just
Yeah.
emotional healing in
Yeah.
general. There's a little
Yeah.
more awareness around it. But the thing with the functional freeze people is their rock bottom often doesn't come until
It's.
like after their 40s at least, or like later, even 50.
I think if we look at that generation that we were talking about a little while ago in the 70s and 80s, that would be that person that ends up with some kind of cancer, MS, some kind of chronic condition, heart attack, stroke. Not to say that there aren't other reasons for that, but we've seen through the ACE study that cardiovascular disease, osteoarthritis, various forms of neurodegenerative diseases, they're connected to early trauma. And so I just think the difference now, like we said, is there's so many more insults and so much more stress. And the time, there's just not enough time, it seems like everything is so much faster. And so it just puts added stress onto the system. So we're actually seeing these issues come up sooner in people. And then, of course, there's a whole toxin thing, and that's a whole other story. You know, there's toxins in our food, and the food supply is not as clean. And
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a whole nother layer. And I mean, if our system is impacted environmentally, that's also going to impact our nervous system. So it's just kind of a vicious cycle. So tell us, I feel like people are going to be like, well, what is functional freeze? Because it's a hot topic because people don't fully grasp it, I feel like. There's so much question. So let's break it down the science a little bit. Let's
I
vagus
think,
nerve it.
well, yeah, and I'd say the science also isn't exact because each person is slightly different. So my functional freeze might be different than to someone else's. You know, generally it is a, because here's one thing that gets portrayed, and I had shared this video with you, right? Where some people will say, oh, functional freeze is where you function
Oh,
during
yeah.
the day. You function, function,
Yeah.
function, then you come at home at night and you
You
freeze.
freeze, right?
Like, no,
We're
that's
like,
not
no.
it. That would be sympathetic activation driving your day. That would be fight flight
And
driving
then
your day.
burnout.
And then you come home and you collapse. You go past freeze into collapse. Functional freeze is where, yes, you are driven with some sympathetic charge, healthy charge, but during your day, there's almost like this sustained drip. If I think of like an IV drip, there's like this sustained drip where there's like this perfect balancing of sympathetic and just enough avoidance of the discomfort in the body to keep going.
Oh, that's
So
a great way to describe it.
there's like a numbing out, but you're not devoid of feeling. Or at least I wasn't. Right? So I was not as empathetic as I am now back in my 20s. Seth could attest to that. But it was there. Like, I could take care of people. I could cry. I could love. I had friends. I had fun. So I wasn't like this monotone, no tone. That would be more collapse and depression. So because of that I actually like that visual, that low drip of sympathetic and function. This is the other thing is, my parents, they did pretty good. There were things that weren't the best, but they treated me well. I was so blessed to not be shamed toxically. I was provided for. I had a safe home. I had fun things to do. So there was also that. So functional freeze can be born out of still a fairly good home life, or it could be born out of a terrible home life, and the person just picks their bootstraps up and figures it out and pushes. And so one can be in functional freeze due to many things, but essentially it's this ability to go and go and go, and you don't collapse at night. You still come home and you do all the dishes and you do the laundry and you cook food and you pack your lunch for the next day and you organize your stuff and
Well, but there's like a disconnect with what your needs are, and so and disconnect. But to me, what I've experienced with different people that I know that are in functional freeze is the disconnect shows up really differently in different people.
Of
And this is
course.
where the different flavors of this freeze state are so interesting to me. Right? Because it's like, oh, well, this person has a disconnect between like the world stuff, like a societal level. Like that's where they're disconnected. And this person has a disconnect with just reality, kind of like what's really happening relationally. And maybe there's a narcissist flavor or something like that. Right? And this person is so, and this is also like, to weave in my freeze state for so long when I was young was dissociative. So that's like a lot of kind of just this veil and just functioning sort of, but then that collapse was so heavy. And so
And I would say typically with a functional freeze pattern, typically there isn't a lot of dissociation.
exactly right. They don't
Like you
have
are,
that spaciness. That's that quality is not there.
no, like there is alert, but the alert doesn't look hypervigilant.
Interesting. Okay.
But
But
like I
can
said, it
it?
can.
Yeah,
This is why
right. This is why it's like so nuanced. Yeah.
there's no black and white. There's so many tones
Exactly.
of gray with this. And I think it at the end of the day, one could say it maybe it doesn't matter. The question
Yeah.
is, how are the other core systems of the body doing? And again, this is a difficult one because I never had gut problems, Selden. I never had pain.
Wow.
I never had problems sleeping. I never had trouble putting myself out there. The one point that I knew something was a bit weird, but then I was still not in the SE world. I was doing a presentation one day. This was in 2005. It was a Feldenkrais presentation to 500 people, and I almost passed out on stage.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
I had never felt that. I had been through university doing presentations, all these things, and I had never felt that. I had gone to university in another country. I had run a study, like all these, like
Oh.
I was really accomplished. And then I went onto the stage and I don't even remember how I felt. So I was probably in this freeze functioning, and I went to start to talk and no words could come out.
Wow.
And I'm like, what is this? Like, I had never felt terror.
So do you trace that back to some another experience? Like what was it that was happening in your system? Do
I
you
have
remember?
no idea. I mean,
That's so
I know
interesting.
what was happening physiologically. I was
Right.
clearly not releasing the stress of about to go on stage. I was nervous, but nervous doesn't make you pass out.
No, or it's not talk. Yeah.
Yeah, and I literally my system was going into shock and freeze, but like real freeze. And so At that point, if I look back, of course, I didn't know this at the time, I wasn't recycling the survival stress. It was just building and building and building. And then the system was like, lights out. And luckily, someone in the audience said something to me because I think they could see I was nervous. And then that engagement, so there's the polyvagal
Right.
coming
So,
into action, the social engagement got me out and calmed my heart rate down.
Right.
And I did a good job. I know I did a good job because I got two jobs out of it. Like someone was in the audience and they hired me to do some stuff,
Right.
Feldenkrais stuff. And so I was able to get it out, but that was a little hint of
Yeah.
how I wasn't really interoceptively connecting to the stored emotion sensation.
Exactly.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it was really
And
interesting.
hadn't been for a long time.
No, and yet what, I was always safe when I did my sports. Some of my friends weren't so safe. They died with the work, like the instinct to not go here and go there was always with me. So one could say I was being protected by something.
Good. Yeah.
I could have and should have died many times in my
Yeah,
sport.
same. Oh my God, not in my sport and other things and other
Recklessly.
and other recreational reckless things. But I think about that too, and that's that I've had divine intervention like so many times. I mean, like I should not have made it out of certain circumstances that's just unexplained, you know. So you talked about the vagus nerve that spark something happened when somebody engaged with you. Me and Seth talked about this a little bit on our interview, and I think so interesting to me how much of our vagus nerve, this is like a I don't know if you're going to be able to really answer this, but I'd love your thoughts on it. I've been really reflecting on how much just underlying dorsal is, I'll say high tone, is affecting us on a grander scale, and how sort of shut down that vagus nerve, the ventral, is, maybe more so even than we realize. Again, because of the phone, because of the this, because of all these things, and the way that we've evolved as humans is just more shut down. I'm noticing actually in kids more so the shutdown. And like we didn't experience shutdown when we were in the 90s. Like, and it's funny that you mentioned the Depeche Mode thing, because what I find myself doing is going back and watching TV shows from the 90s or movies. And they're engaging with each other. They're connected. And it's just like it's been so interesting for me to reflect, and I've been writing a lot about it that like this is an it's an issue, because there's so, and you know more about this than I do. There's more cranial nerves back there than there is. I mean, then it's not just ventral, but that's a huge part. There's so much, and so it's actually limiting how we're experiencing kind of everything. And I always think, doing thinking about like, oh my God, what's it gonna be like in like 50 years? The people who are healing, when we've actually opened things up to the degree that we are, that's possible, what that might look like. And then, of course, there's the flip side of like, what happens if it continues to get bad, and what that might look like. Anyway, do you have any thoughts around this? I know I went a little deep, but.
Oh, I've talked about this.
Okay.
I think Joe Martino actually asked me this question in a slightly different
Oh,
way,
interesting.
which was, what do you think it'll look like if more people get true regulation on board?
Yeah.
And I said, I think it'll look really boring. It won't, it
Wow.
won't, it
Wow.
will look the way it would have looked
Yeah.
10,000 years ago. Not quite, because I don't think we're going to go and like destroy our technology centers.
Sure.
I think that there might be a rearrangement. I think we're in a really strange place right now with AI and what's happening there.
Yep.
I think that there are so many people who just want simple, basic life
Yeah.
back to the way it was in the 80s and
Oh,
90s.
yes. We're craving it.
But the thing is, but it's not going to be like that because we already know more.
Right.
But I mean, I think what will occur, I hope what will occur, but who knows, is more people will wake up to this need to find regulation.
Yeah.
But then we're going to have to be okay that there's a lot of people who won't.
Yeah.
Just like a lot of people haven't. And this is the thing that we have to remember as advocates, like you and I and your peers for this work, is you can't change everyone. And there's billions of people who have died without even knowing what their nervous system is.
Exactly. Yeah.
So there's also this little bit of a, I guess, do we get off of our high horse? I don't know around this, but it's like not everybody, we also know, and we said this in the last SPT intensive. I just said, not everybody should do this work.
Yeah, absolutely. Not everybody's
Because,
going to.
be, and
No.
it, it, and I'm not saying that to be fatalistic. It's more of a, you need to have resources in place so that
Right.
you can take some time
Exactly.
to maybe work a little less. And this is really difficult for the mother who's got jobs and no support and doesn't have savings. And I get it. Like,
Yeah.
you need a little bit of time to integrate this stuff. So the question, it's like a moral question too,
Yeah.
right? Because not everyone is gonna take the program and be like, this is great. I'm feeling
Right.
all the stuff that I've never felt before. I think if it's done in a way that's titrated, which is how the course is presented, it can be less intense and less scary.
Sure.
But to go back to the question, or the concept, I think it's anyone's guess, and I think it depends on humans. Like, we can talk and talk about our experiences till the cows come home and show all these amazing case studies, which I do constantly. But it comes down to the person saying, I kind of want this, or I'm going to try this, or hell yeah, I want this. I know from talking to you and your peers over the years, it changes people's lives.
Yeah, 100%.
And you can't go back. And that will pose challenges
Exactly.
when you have relationships, when you have a spouse, when you have a school system that you no longer agree with,
Exactly.
when there's no other system there that you can put your kid in. What are you going to do with them? They
Right.
have to learn about the world. This whole unschooling thing drives me a little bonkers, because it's like, well, what are those kids going to do? It's not too far off until they're 20. If they're not knowing how to be in a little bit of functional freeze, and this is where it gets,
That's the thing. Well, we're set up in a society that it's
you
like,
have to be in
can,
functional
right,
freeze.
exactly. I mean, I almost think we're titrating. We're like titrating ourselves out of it, really.
And there's no way, there's that sadistic side of me would love for the band-aid to just be ripped off,
Right.
all
Yeah. None of
disclosure to
that
come
happened.
out,
Yeah.
everything be raw. Those who survive that survive, and those who don't, that's okay. And then we start from scratch. But I've talked to enough people who look at big systems, and it's like, it can't happen that way. It has to happen slowly over
Yeah.
time. Like I said, I would love for there just to be this turning
Right.
of the tides, 180, but it's not going to occur that way. There'd be too
No.
much instability
Yeah.
in community, in systems. I mean, we've already experienced pieces of that, massive instability
Yeah.
coming in, and
Absolutely.
back in 2020, 2021, it's not good. It's not good when there's that kind of instability. But I think, the thing I always come back to, it comes down to the person.
Yeah,
You can
absolutely.
want all the change in the world to happen, but it has to start with you, and then you start to see the outside differently because you
Yeah.
have more regulation. And we just don't get
Definitely.
triggered by stuff when we have,
That's the thing. Yeah.
right? And because the people that get triggered by things that occur, that's their right, but they're also not in control of that because they have that survival physiology running the
Exactly.
show.
Exactly. Yeah. Tell me how we've talked about titration a little bit. Tell me how SBSM addresses, because in an online program like that, I would imagine it's hard, because I know working with my clients, how watching their system, how I have to tell them how slow to go. Like, I have to kind of monitor or watch, and people don't know how slow to go. So how do you guys like have a handle on that? Obviously, there's a lot of education around titration in the program. So touch on that, A, the importance, and B, how you feel that is being relayed to your students in a way that this work can be done safely.
Well, here's what's interesting is we lay out the course such that it is meant to be done slow at a person's own pace.
Yes.
What that looks like for each person is going to be so different. And
Right.
I would say one of the bigger macro learnings of this is to figure out what your pace is.
Yeah.
And it's like you got to find that Goldilocks spot because some of us will need to push a little
Right, exactly. That's the nuance.
because we've been so depressed in our physiology and there's no energy. And some of us who have that functional freeze will actually have to back off a bit.
Right.
So if I were to think about the high achievers who might be more functional freezy, I would say go through it in the way we've designed it, and you can't go faster because we don't release the modules all at once. But
Yeah.
if there's this little hint that's like, I'm just really tired today, like if you feel that,
Yeah.
listen to it. How a person goes at their own pace is going to be about them
Yeah.
rethinking how they approach life.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that might seem really strange when this is a course about the nervous system and healing, but that is what this is. This is the
How you do
macro.
anything is how you do everything.
This is the macro of this work.
Right.
It just happens to be packaged in an online course with nervous system theory, really solid neurosensory exercises. And then listening to when does your body want to push and go more and more and more, and going, oh, this is that functional freeze maybe that's driving me to be an overachiever. I'm going to back off a little bit. But here's the thing.
Right.
I've had so many of your peers say, yep, I had to learn it the hard way.
Exactly.
I went all in. You told me not to. I went all in. I did everything. I did everything. I did everything. And then I
Yeah.
burnt out. And so I'm going to go through it
Exactly.
again. And so we have to fump sometimes fall.
Yeah, and mine was so sensitive. I mean, this is for the autoimmune people as well to really, really titrate. But the thing with the autoimmune people, if you have a lot of collapse or shutdown, that shutdown's actually going to help pace you. I mean, I hate to say it that way, but it
True.
really, like, I couldn't do more than a minute
No.
or two of a practice. Like, my body, like, would not let me. And so, in some ways that can help, you pace yourself. But it is that little whisper. I always talk about the little whisper that we, tend to override, of course, because it's that programming of our value. It has to measure how much we produce and how much we do and how much we function and all this. And it's the ability to tune into that impulse that you're talking about, and the impulse to stop. And I talk to my clients a lot about, titration is so important when we're talking about the nervous system and we're talking about pendulation and feeling and resourcing and these types of things. But it's also important, again, especially for the autoimmune and the functional freeze people, in behavior. Like titrate what you do every day, really important. Okay, so tell us about the like the deets of SBSM. It's open now. It runs twice a year and it's 12 weeks. Anything else that you want anybody to know? Anything else you want to share before we wrap up?
I mean, all the information is on the site.
Yeah.
So if a person is really interested, I recommend take a bit of time to look and read through the
Yeah.
syllabus. All of it is outlined there. You don't have to hear me repeat it again. It's there. It's again, this is the 18th time we've run this session. We've had thousands of people go through it. There's a reason why we keep coming back to it. There's a reason why my team wants to stay and continue to support it,
Yeah.
because we see the quote unquote miracles that occur when our nervous system gets regulated. We have put this through an academic study. So there's
Amazing.
been a tiny bit of hardcore science. It's not fast
Yeah.
to do that stuff.
Right.
So this isn't just something I've put out there,
Right.
using AI bots to formulate it. You know, this really was created through my experience working with humans for so many
Exactly.
years.
Yeah.
And it has to feel right. It doesn't have to feel not scary, though.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and the thing is it's going to take time for a person who grew up in, let's say, a traumatic environment, medical traumas, conditioning, all the things, high achieving parents. It's going to take time for safety to get restored to the system. Our
Exactly.
bodies don't get safe first and then it heals. We heal and we grow capacity, and then that restores the safety.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a misnomer. I saw something earlier today. Someone I follow said the body can't heal until it's safe. And it's like, well, actually, the body heals and then that creates safety.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess that's true.
It's not a switch. You
Well,
have
it's like a simultaneous, no? Sometimes.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah.
as you grow more
Right.
capacity, you start to realize, oh,
More
maybe
safety.
it's okay for me to try this or try that. But it's not something that's just one day you're
You
unsafe.
all of a sudden feel safe, right?
No.
No, not at all.
And then you go
Yeah.
into a different environment, a different circumstance, and you thought you had it mastered. And then you're like in an airport with stressful people around you, and it just, right?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, as we heal and as we get more regulated, we realize how dysregulated, how deep the rabbit hole goes, so to speak. You
Yes.
know, we realize like, oh my gosh, like I have been overriding, like I don't feel safe
My
at all
entire
around
life.
this person or that person, or when I'm in a restaurant or, you know, like at a concert, whatever, all these high activity things that I used to do with just no, I thought no problem, but then couldn't sleep after. I had
Yes.
anxiety the next day and I
Yes.
didn't relate the two.
Yes.
Once you get regulated, you realize like, oh, I actually like, I need to limit all this stuff. This is not okay
We're
for
not,
me. You know, so we have to be ready to really wake up to like what's real for us.
We do.
Yeah. So Irene has a ton of resources, and I know you'll have like a lot of Q&A stuff available. So tune in, you know, if you're watching this as it's coming out, which it's going to be Friday the 19th, tune into Irene's Instagram channel and her YouTube channel and get on her mailing list so that you can see all the Q&As that she has happening right now during this promo phase. And get your questions answered or whatever. I will say that it is the best investment that I made for my healing, probably of anything that I've done. So that's a big statement, because I've done a lot of things. And you do have lifetime access to the course, which is incredible. And I think that's it. Thank you so much for joining me today.
You are so welcome. I'm glad we were able to keep that internet connection
I
going.
know, right? We made it work.
I haven't had that happen.
I know.
I don't think I've ever had that happen. So that was really interesting.
Interesting. Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
We will
Thank you.
see you soon. Okay. Bye.